Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the text. And zeroing and focusing in very tightly the first part of that verse. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. It struck me that this is it's kind of an odd way of saying it. It would flow much more smoothly to say, we'll never be thirsty ever again. That's the normal way we would say it in English. And the Greek is the same. It is a little bit of an odd phrasing, so I began to wonder, why is it said that way? But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. You see the word hanging there? Forever. Very prominent in its, in part, seeming to be out of place. But there is something going on here. Jesus is inviting the woman to what? To things that are forever. We confuse these things. It's part of our fallen human nature to confuse what is temporary and what is eternal, isn't it? Think about this. Write down a list of how many things you would miss church for. How many things would you miss for church? And when you have that listed, then you've sorted out some of your priorities. And we as a species, we have this seemingly immense ability to miss the point, get things wrong. We take the eternal as if it was a temporary and passing thing. And people talk about church as, did you enjoy it? Was it something that was fulfilling in your enjoyment? And then we take the things that are temporary and we think of them as being forever. Some of the temporary things we don't want to pass, but they do eventually. Some of the things that are temporary, we want to get rid of them, but we react as if they are more or less permanent. So, the things that we don't wish to pass, but they do, things like hair, health, youth, our vigor. Things that we wish would pass, but we act as if they're more permanent than they are. Problems in life. Diseases that sweep through. We're in the middle of one right now. And people are acting in our country as if a permanent state of affairs, might be the last toilet paper I ever have the chance to buy. We do this as part of our fallenness where we don't have the perspective of eternity and forever and what things last and what things pass away. So with the woman at the well.
How many times does Jesus have to deal with her?
He talks about living water, and she thinks about ropes and buckets.
He talks again about water, where you will never be thirsty forever. And she says, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here to draw water. He zeroes in. Call your husband. I have no husband. You're right in saying I have no husband. Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Let's change the subject, right? Real quickly. The Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. I know that Messiah is coming. Change the subject. See, if she wasn't so determined to miss the point, the gospel reading would have been about a third of the length that it was. But Jesus will pursue her. He will get her into a corner where there is no getting out. And he will say to her what he has to say to her. And to summarize the two of those things, I am the Messiah who came to give you eternal things. Along the way, there is some discomfort. See, she at the well, and Nicodemus in the chapter before, have run into somebody who knows the deepest part of what's inside you. And the disciples after that, Peter and James and John, all are very uncomfortable, very unnerved by Jesus' knowledge of what is in the heart. And John brings that out. He says earlier on than this, Jesus had no need for anybody to tell him what was in the heart because he knew it all. What is it like to be confronted by a God who knows everything? David in Psalm 139, before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Oh. Unnerving. So the woman, I see that you are a prophet. This is part one. Part one is when he comes face to face with us and he names our sin. Very uncomfortable to have somebody know everything about you. There are acts, habits, behaviors, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, feelings that we would give anything to be sure that they were hidden from everyone around us. Just a brief detour. I've been known to read and watch science fiction things. And one in particular spun this story of what if aliens came to this world and did something to humanity where all of us would know everything the next one was thinking. Yeah. Scary prospect, right? And yet you sit here in the presence of someone who does know everything. Single thing that you are thinking, have ever thought, or will ever think. And a lot of those things are sinful. How does it feel? That's part one. In part one, once again, there is this pattern in the Gospel of John where one after another comes face to face with Jesus and finds out that he knows it. He knows it all. Part two. It's realization that the reason why he knows all of those sins is because he came into this world, into this human race, took flesh on himself so that he could take those sins, every single one of them, lift them off of you, and carry them to the cross. And when that realization dawns, then new Christians, one after another, are like this woman at the well. She forgets her water jar and heads off into town to say, "Come meet a man who told me everything I ever did." Which is somewhat inaccurate as to the specifics of the conversation, but absolutely accurate in that he knew it. He knew it all. And yet, he's the one who, once again, is the Messiah, the Christ, who has come to bring and give her that which lasts forever. She has all kinds of things in her life that are not forever. A lot of those things would be embarrassing, but they're not forever. What he promises to her is living water where you will not be thirsty forever. Living water that becomes a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What exactly is that? What he's offering to her is what he is pursuing her with, is the forever things. The Word of God planted in the soul, and that's eternal, and it gives eternal life. Water that is splashed over the head, baptism, that gives the eternal name of God along with all of the promises of God. The supper, where there is something eternal that is then placed on your tongue and given you to eat and to drink. These are the eternal things that Jesus calls her to. And every single one of them is a means by which Jesus gives himself. And as he gives himself, what he is calling her to or pursuing her with is, in part, what she was created to be in the first place. Created to not only be known by God with absolute perfection, but to know God, to have fellowship with God. And fellowship means sharing in things, sharing in the eternal things. And so to have the Word of God and forgiveness and life and salvation in her soul for all eternity. So forget about the water jug. There's something that you've just been given that is forever. And she looks around at her neighbors in her mind, and she goes, and there's something eternal out there at the well. Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they come and they learn and they hear the Word of God and they believe in him. And so Jesus comes to us today. We're in the middle of all kinds of temporary things. Some of those are very vividly on our minds. But it is important in the midst of all the things that come and go, in the middle of everything that passes away, to have that something that is eternal. That's why we come to church. The government can only try and take care of the physical things. We know that we need that which is not physical, that which does not come or go, that which the government cannot either give or take away. And we know that we receive that from Jesus Christ. He's the Savior who carried our sins so that he could give us all that is eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.